Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and we want you to be a part of it. If you have a question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, give us a call right now. The lines are wide open at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We are talking this week about spiritual warfare, how to win at spiritual warfare. It's something that we all go through. Why? Because we live in a world that is anti-God, anti-Jesus. As Paul put it in Ephesians chapter 2, before we came to know Christ, we followed the ways of this world that were controlled by the prince of the air. We live to gratify the desires of the flesh. That's what we were before we knew Christ, before we were made alive in Him. And once we're made alive in Him, we are rescued, we are snatched out of that realm, and we're placed in Christ. Well, here's the rub. We live this new life surrounded by this world system. So we're going to have conflict. We're going to have times where we clash with the world. And we're going to feel the pressure of the world to conform. The world is going to continue to exert pressure on us, trying to conform us to back to its ways. And we have the opportunity to stand firm. And that's exactly what Paul is encouraging us to do in Ephesians chapter 6 when he talks about the whole armor of God. So in verse 13, he says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." So God wants us to stand firm in who we are in Christ. God wants us to stand firm in our relationship with Him. God wants us to stand firm in this grace of God that we've gained access to through faith in Jesus Christ. That's where we're to stand. And that's solid footing. No other footing will give us a solid place. Everything else, as that song says, is but shifting sand. So God wants our feet to be on something solid. That's why He tells us to stand firm in the grace of God, to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, so that when this evil comes, when these schemes of Satan come, when he starts unleashing his artillery against us, when it's all said and done, we're still standing. Yes. Now, that's great hope, isn't it?
Sure is. I mean, what's the option? Don't worry, Lord, I've got it this time, and a tank rolls over me.
Right,
and that's
it's not going to work.
Yeah, but when I'm standing in Christ, there is no firmer footing. There is no more sure foundation, and whatever onslaught is thrown against me by the world system, Satan and his minions, is just going to break like water on the beach because Jesus has me.
Yeah, as weak as we are in comparison to the evil one, our enemy, we're so much stronger when we depend upon the Lord, when we're standing firm in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And that's the miracle. That
is
the absolute miracle. We can withstand the onslaught of our enemy, and here's how we do it. "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness." So truth is the beginning or the initial piece that we put on.
Mm-hmm.
The truth about what? The truth about God. The truth about His love, His grace that's been revealed to us in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Jesus Christ came to make the truth about God the Father known to us. So God is not against us. He is not our enemy. Satan used to convince us that he was, but the truth is that God is not our enemy. So therefore, we can rest in Him. We can stand firm in Him. So that's the truth. And then we put on the breastplate of righteousness. We don't stand in our own righteousness.
No.
We have been given the gift of righteousness. And Paul talks about that in Philippians chapter 3, that he doesn't want to be found in his own righteousness, but in the righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. So God sent Jesus, and Jesus, the one who knew no sin, became sin for us, so that in Him we might become or be made the very righteousness of God. So there's an exchange. we give Jesus all of our sins, or he takes away all of our sins, and in exchange gives us all of his righteousness. So we stand in that righteousness, and that is our breastplate. That is the very thing that protects this heart of ours, this center of who we are. And then from the breastplate of righteousness, we have shoes for our feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. We have something to offer to others out there in the world, this good news of Jesus Christ. And then we're to take up the shield of faith. It's this faith in Jesus Christ that turns away those fiery darts that Satan sends. And then we extinguish that, and then we take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. So this helmet of salvation is the thing that protects and guards our minds. Philippians 4, you know, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything through prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God, and the peace of God will quieten your heart and mind in Christ. Mm-hmm. It's this helmet of salvation, knowing that you're secure in the Lord, that is going to keep your mind thinking in the right way, thinking and being renewed by the very truth of God. And then the final thing is the sword of the Spirit. And that's what we use when we're confronted with temptation.
Yes.
When we're confronted with the lies and the heresies of this world, we stand on the Word of God. It is the sword. It is our offensive weapon. We use it, and when we do, then those lies will turn and run.
Notice what he's done here to tie these things together. He starts with a belt, and for most people who use swords, it hangs from a belt. And if the belt of truth isn't there, you don't have any sword. It's laying on the ground,
right,
completely useless to you. So it's not just using the Bible in some willy-nilly way. It is using the Bible based on the absolute truth of who Jesus is.
That's and exactly right.
Then you've got a weapon.
Yeah. And with all of that, here's our hope. I mean, we're not going to be able to escape the fiery darts of Satan. He's going to deliver them.
That's right.
He's going to take them out. He's going to use them. He's going to use them over and over and over. And regardless of how much he takes his weapons out and fires them against us, if we're in that full armor of God, standing in truth, being strong in the Lord, we're going to stand after every onslaught.
Yes.
That's good news, and that is great hope.
And that is Basic Gospel, everybody. Glad you're with us today. If you are hearing the broadcast of the first half of the 3 p.m. Central Time hour, we'd love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. And guys, as we sat this morning discussing the financial needs of Basic Gospel, it became abundantly clear that we need a heart-to-heart with our listeners who hear this broadcast every day. Friends, as you've heard me say many, many times, and Bob and Richard as well, Basic Gospel is listener-financed. It's a listener-financed ministry. It's entirely up to those of you, our listeners, who hear this message of God's love and grace in Jesus Christ to keep Basic Gospel on the air and online. So, Bob, if you would, tell our listeners about our financial position and what we need by the end of September.
Well, it's all about cash. Do we have the cash to pay our bills? And during the summer months, cash flow trickles. It starts to really just become drops. And, boy, we need an influx right now. And so we sat today with Kim, who takes care of our books and does an outstanding job. And we kind of looked at what we need, and we said if our listeners could provide $50,000 between now and September 30th, that would just really get us out of this financial or this cash crisis right now. Mm-hmm. So we need 500 people to give $100 between now and September 30th. Now, it doesn't always work that way. I love simple math.
Yeah.
And it just is nice and neat and tidy and clean. But that's not how God works, and that's not how your individual finances work. You may be able to give $10 right now or $25, or somebody out there may be able to write a check for $1,000. So whatever you're comfortable with giving, whatever you can give, we are asking you to give right now so that we can pay some of these bills and keep this ministry going loud and strong on all the radio stations that we're currently on. I'm telling you, this gospel message is having just an incredible impact in the lives of folks. So you are investing in eternal dividends. You're investing to reap those eternal dividends in the lives of people. We got a great email yesterday from our friends Dell and Stephanie, and they were recalling one of their first conferences they attended, and they said, "Wow, I finally know why it's called the Good News."
Yeah.
And that kind of aha moment, that light bulb moment, that revelation is happening in the lives of people literally all over the world. And those who fuel this broadcast with their financial support, you're helping write those stories. You're helping people come to grips with the fact that their sins are forgiven, that they've been declared righteous, that they have new life in Christ. These are the matters of the heart that shape and form every other aspect of life. So you are truly making a difference, but we really need your urgent, critical, generous help right now. And if you can go to our website, basicgospel.net, click the donate button and make the most generous gift that you can, we would be ever grateful to you. And we certainly have a gift that we want to put in your hands, a great resource this month called Stand. But we need your help. We need it today. And whenever this has happened in the past, you guys have just stepped up to the plate and have just crushed what we've asked for. You've just far exceeded that. And we say thank you for that in the past, but we certainly need your help right now.
Again, give online at basicgospel.net or in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. Well, guys, one of the reasons, good reasons that we're on the air is, well, I'll just read this email from Craig in Syracuse, and he says, "I know the word, and I know and love Christ. However, I struggle with my flesh. I smoke, I drink, I curse, I fornicate. Of course, I don't encourage others to partake of the same behaviors. I'm not going to be a good example of Christ in me. I know it hurts my father's heart to see me make those choices that harm my physical life. These sins still lead to death," he says. "I hear Christians say that these desires were taken away from them at the moment of salvation. Not in my case. I know Jesus still loves me the very same way, regardless. But when I get an opportunity to express my faith, I sometimes find myself on trial before I can shine for Christ. Thanks, guys." That's from Craig in Syracuse.
Well, that is a really excellent question, because he's addressing something that we all face to some degree or another. So we had an old lifestyle, and we lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, when we come to Christ, that flesh doesn't die.
No.
That flesh is still hanging on us. Now, we're not identified by the flesh. We're not identified by the desires of the flesh like we once were. We're now children of God. We're identified by Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. That has given us a brand new identity. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. So we have a new set of desires living in us. It's called the desires of the Spirit. But the desires of the flesh are still there.
Sure are.
Now, if the flesh has been gratified in a certain way, it is going to demand to be gratified in that same way time and time and time again. And it will be relentless in its quest to seek fulfillment.
Yeah.
That's just the nature of the flesh. And some people who have come to Christ, you know, those things that defined them before, the old way of life that they used to be, it just goes away. But those fleshly desires don't.
No.
They'll rear their ugly heads
time
again. And you think, gosh, I thought I was a Christian. I thought all of this was done away with in Christ. And you find out differently. You find out what the real story is, that God in his sovereignty, in his wisdom, chose to leave us housed in this body of flesh. Now, we're going to get a new body at some point,
yeah,
and that body is going to be absent of the flesh, absent of sin. It's going to be imperishable. It's going to be immortal. But that is at the second coming of Christ, when these bodies will be resurrected and we will receive new ones in the twinkling of an eye. But in the meantime, we walk by faith. And when we walk by faith, walk by the Spirit, what the Bible says is we won't gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, this is where many people get it wrong. They try to clean up the flesh in order to be spiritual. Well, that's not what the Bible calls us to do. The Bible simply says to walk by faith, to walk in the Spirit, and the byproduct, the result of that, is that you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So I guarantee you that he is trying to do the very opposite.
Craig.
He is trying to fight against those desires,
yeah,
and trying to diminish them in some way, shape, or form. So he'll probably wake up in the morning and say, you know, God, help me not engage in sexual immorality today. And what does the accuser do? Well, what kind of sexual immorality? What were you?
What are we talking about?
What do you really want God to help you say no to? Well, this. And by the time the enemy has finished his conversation with you, all you can think about is that sexual immorality, mm-hmm, or alcohol, or not being angry, or whatever it is you're trying to, yeah, overcome.
Have you ever heard anyone say, today I'm not going to curse? And they go, blankety blank, I cursed.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And away you go.
Yeah. And it happens, you know, when you leave home and get on the highway.
Yes.
You know, and that guy cuts you off, and it's just there. So we have to realize that, yes, we have flesh,
mm-hmm,
those desires of the flesh that we live to gratify before coming to know Christ when we were sinners. Those desires are still there in us, and there's only one way to overcome them, and that's to walk in the Spirit, to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, to live in thanksgiving, in thankfulness, knowing that our sins have been forgiven, knowing that we've been declared righteous, knowing that we have someone in us who is greater than he who is in the world. And with that way of life, the way of grace is what we call it, you're going to experience victory over those desires,
yes,
of the flesh.
This is not about preparing yourself for your testimony. This is about getting to know Jesus, and then you're a witness of his work, not a witness of your own.
That's exactly right.
Well, this is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. Glad you're with us, friends. We have a few minutes left, and if you're hearing the program during the first half of the 3 p.m. Central Time hour, well, you're hearing the live broadcast, and you can call right now. Speak with us directly, 844-322-2742. In the meantime, a question from Sally. What does it mean? What does Ephesians 6:18 mean when it says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion?
Well, that's a great question, and it certainly ties into what we were talking about at the top of the hour as far as how to win at spiritual warfare. And this is one of those directives to us as far as how to win at spiritual warfare, and that's praying at all times in the Spirit. So what in the world does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Well, a lot of folks will look at that and say, well, it means to pray in tongues, to speak in tongues.
Yeah, special prayer language.
Yeah, well, that's not what that's talking about at all. Praying in the Spirit is the opposite of praying in the flesh. So what is it? Well, we're listening to what God says to us as we read the Word, as the Spirit is making known to us the truth about God as revealed to us in Jesus Christ. And so as we're learning about that truth, as we're learning about the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God, as we're learning about the will of God, then we start praying back to God those things that we have been taught by the Spirit of God. So it's that simple. I mean, mm-hmm, we try to complicate it. We try to make it something other than it is. But it's all about praying, being controlled, being compelled, being constrained by the very love of Jesus Christ. And it's that love that the Spirit is making known to us.
Yeah.
So that's how we pray in the Spirit. And so we pray at all times in that manner.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that pray in the flesh. In other words, they're asking God to grant to them the desires of their flesh. And God is going to say, are you kidding?
Yeah.
I mean, what in the world are you thinking? I mean, I've put my Spirit in you. I've given you a life that far exceeds anything you could experience out there in the world, and yet you are praying for me to grant you a desire of your flesh. I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to pray in the Spirit. I want your heart to pray back to me, to talk to me in terms of the desires the Spirit is placing inside of you. And that's going to help us look beyond these temptations that are going to come at us in this world.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. And if you have a question, you can drop it to bob@basicgospel.net, or you can call and voice it in your own voice at 844-322-2742. Final question. This is from Jacob, who wrote to us through the Basic Gospel app. What does the Bible say about where people go right after they die? Do they go straight to heaven or hell? Right away, or wait until the day of judgment? That's from Jacob.
Well, the Bible says this, that we're absent from the body, present with the Lord. So where do we go? We go to the presence of the Lord. So we're going to leave this body. This body is going to go into a grave or whatever's going to happen to it. But the real us is going to be with Jesus, and we're going to be with him forever. So we're you know, so concerned about geography, you know, the place, you know, are we going to go to heaven? And there's that question. Do you know if you're going to go to heaven when you die? Well, what makes it heaven is the very presence of God. And that's what's really important. When we give our last breath, for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, we are going to be absent from the body and present with Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed.
That's good news.
That is good news. That's the kind of news you hear every day here at Basic Gospel. Just a couple of things that we want to mention to you, friends. And remember that we stream live video to both Facebook and YouTube every day. We would love for you to come on inside the studio and view the video. That's why it's there. We'd love for you to be a part of it right inside the studio. You can find it if you go to basicgospel.net. At the very top of the page, you'll see links to both Facebook and to YouTube. We hope you'll use those, and we would love to. Well, we won't see you, but you can see us. I want to remind you also to check out the same website. At the very top of the page, you'll see the banner about Israel 2019, May 25th through the 6th, and we want you to be a part of that. It's going to be a fabulous trip. Bob and Richard have talked about it in the past, and we'll talk about it more in the future, but take advantage of it. Go there and get registered. Registrations are already taking place, and we want you to be among them. Again, that's 2019, May 25th through 6th, Israel and, as a matter of fact, Jordan. Both are on the docket. Well, friends, as we close today's program, we remind you once again that Basic Gospel is listener-financed, and we need your help today to keep this good news coming. Please go online to basicgospel.net, or in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada, and make your gift to help us continue to reach out with the love, grace, and life of Jesus Christ our Lord. And when you do, be sure to request your free copy of Stand, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. Make your most generous donation today at basicgospel.net or at basicgospel.net. Canada. That's for you Canadians, of course. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be back again tomorrow for maybe just a little bit more on marriage. We'll be here. I hope you will be too. See you then. Bye-bye.